great.
Welcome, y'all, to episode 31. It's Friday, December 2nd. Christmas season, like, even Merry for the Bahubbug people, yeah, is actually here.
Yeah, I love it. So we're going to be decorating the warehouse. I better do that today. We've got our Christmas party for Foundation tomorrow. So
come on.
We're excited about it. Christmas is in full swing at Foundation. Now, Hunter is a big Christmas guy. Me too. Yeah.
Where do you stand on the Christmas debate? Like,
I'm pro-Christmas, if that's the debate you're asking. But as far as like when's too early, is that what you're asking?
That one. Yeah.
I love, if it were up to me, I would probably do Christmas stuff before Thanksgiving. But I don't want to be pretentious either. So we kind of wait till like the day after Thanksgiving, the weekend, it's Christmas time.
That's fair. And I feel like it, as an In the Bag podcast, mm-hmm, this is an appropriate question. Are y'all a Santa family?
No, we're not.
Okay.
We don't do Santa. I encourage my kids to give gifts to the less fortunate and just remember like how fortunate we are. So we go like the opposite way of Santa per se. So that's what we do. What about you?
You heard it here first, everybody. Obviously, all business Brad is a better person than all of you.
not in a pretentious way.
He just literally is that good of a guy.
Obviously, you all don't have kids yet, but what do you think you all will lean to with your kids?
So we grew up like my in-laws did a thing where half the gifts came from Santa, half the gifts came from them.
Mm-hmm.
I grew up in a world where everything came from Santa. If I had to guess, we're going to lean towards the in-laws. But also, my grandparents were always Santa Claus. So my parents never really had to carry that burden. So now that grandkids are entering the picture, my parents have taken on that burden. So
gotcha. I think I got a little traumatized like from the shock of finding out that Santa was a lie. And I took it as a lie, not as like, hey, he's not real. Of course, he's not real. But it was like I was lied to. So that's probably where that comes from.
No one likes being lied to. No one likes having false things. But speaking of false things, we do have an ad read. Thankfully, we have a sponsor for today's video before we bring in our guests. How's that sound?
Yep. Let's talk about it. All right. Well, excited today for Aura. They've been sponsoring this podcast and the other Foundation podcast for a while, so we're excited to have them back on board. So Aura, it has an easy-to-use app that includes everything you need to stay safe online. Aura protects you from scammers and hackers by scanning the so-called dark web where criminals sell stolen information. They look at your emails for passwords, social security numbers. It even alerts you fast if they find anything. So I know when I first originally did this, I did scan the dark web. I did find like one password leak or something from an old email. I wasn't too worried about that. But the thing I do love about it is, so my wife and I refinanced our house recently, and obviously, why wouldn't you? Because of the market, right? Okay. But anyway, what I loved about it is anytime they like checked credit or there was like a password created or something was done with our mortgage, I actually got alerts from Aura as well.
Wow.
So I was very, very, and I reset my bank password recently and I got an alert from Aura, which was great. Yeah, I'm really impressed. I know Jason used it also. Their VPN when he went to Canada to try to make sure he still had a US VPN. So we've been using it here. I'm really impressed by it. It's very easy to use. Like their website's extremely easy to use too. It has it kind of all in one hub. And then obviously they have an app as well that you can use. So very, very impressed with Aura. And I'm even saying it correctly now. They let me know that Aura is not the correct pronunciation. I'm sorry, Aura. Thank you for letting me know. So Aura helps you fight back against those annoying websites that make your personal information public and automatically requesting your removal of info on robocall websites, which is great because I think we all hate those as well.
And I mean, not only does it help reduce that, but it gives you real-time alerts on suspicious credit inquiries, like someone trying to open a loan or a credit card in your name, like you were saying, like even changing passwords. Their VPN allows you to stay anonymous online by keeping your browsing history and personal information safe and encrypted. And they protect your devices from viruses, malware, spyware, like all the wares trying to get into your stuff.
No
so
wares
bad guys
allowed.
Can't break in. or it even helps you manage what your kids can do on their devices. You can restrict specific apps, set screen time limits, and even set focus times to ensure that your child is doing their homework instead of binge watching Swanky Disc Golf or Foundation Disc Golf on YouTube. That comes later. That's mm-hmm. important, but it comes later, right? And their mm-hmm. password manager lets you... Oh, man, I'm getting choked up about it. I'm so excited about it. Their password manager lets you store and access your online passwords and secure, like, online passwords securely and conveniently. So maybe you already have an app that does one of those things, but the beauty of Aura is that it lets you have to not download or pay all of those different subscriptions for different apps.
Exactly. So let Aura do the hard work of keeping you safe online, like you said, all in one place. If you sign up right now, Aura will give you a 2-week free trial with our link. It's in the description. You'll be shocked at how much of your private information Aura finds and exposed over those 2 weeks. It does work. I will let you know that right now. So go to aura.com/foundationdiscgolf and you can get your free trial started there today. We have that linked in the description as well. So again, thank you, Aura, for sponsoring the podcast. Thank you for letting me know that my identity is safe. That is very comforting. I will say that. So thank you, Aura, again, and let's bring in Reed today.
Welcome to In the Bag, Mr. Swanky Disc Golf himself. Reed, how are you doing?
Doing well.
Yeah. Hey, we're glad to have you, dude. So again, it was a surprise to me. I didn't know until today, but glad to have you on. So love the festive background you have. You have both a pine tree there, and it looks like there was a pine tree on the other side of you outside, or maybe it's grass. I can't tell, but
just my ivy.
Okay. Well, hey, that looks festive too. So.
And he's got his Merry Christmas sweater. Dude, mm-hmm. it's just, we're all ready for Christmas. Meanwhile, yeah. Brad and I out here just like can just close.
Yeah, normal.
I guess maybe what we'll have to do is, Brad, because we have that reunion episode coming up, maybe mm-hmm. we'll like wear Santa hats or something.
Ooh, that would be good. That would be good. I love it.
That's the move.
I'll do some like fake presents, stack them behind me so it just looks like I'm in a wall of presents. Okay. I'm in.
All right. We're dreaming. I'll wrap the whole wall on wrapping. It'd be fantastic. So, y'all, enough about the future. We're here in the
now
with Reed, the man himself. I remember when I first came across Swanky Disc Golf, seeing Reed and being like, man, I want to hang out with that guy. And now it's fun. I now have your phone number. So I feel like Creators Cup. I mean, we were connected before Creators Cup, Reed, but I feel like Creators Cup brought you and Foundation together. Like it did its job. I'm mm-hmm. already looking forward to next year.
For sure.
Cannot wait. Absolutely.
So, Reed, I don't know if you have you listened to an episode with us before?
Dude, I'm addicted. I'm addicted to the In the Bag podcast. I'm addicted to every podcast on the Foundation Network. Hashtag ad. So, yeah. I'm a big-time listener of you guys. I love the pod.
Thank you.
Well, then you know how it works. So we got a few questions for you. We want people to get to know you. We'll give you a spot at the end for you to absolutely go full shameless plug. Let everyone know what's going down, where they can follow you, what's happening. Today's a big day for the Swanky channel as well. So we want to make sure that you guys stick around. Huge promotion coming. It's going to be fantastic. You're going to love it. But before the promo, we need to know not Reed, Mr. Swanky. We need to know Reed, the disc golfer. So let us know how long have you been playing, and then how far do you throw the disc, forehand and backhand?
Okay, how long I've been playing? I picked up a disc in 2013 for the first time and played with the first. I had a Firebird, a Destroyer, and then the starter set from Innova, and I played with those for 5 years, just those discs. played with the other Swanky guys for a while through college, all that, and did not get serious until about 2019 when I watched, I don't know, the YouTube algorithm hit me with Paul McBeth at the MVP Open in 2018 or 2019, one of those tournaments, and I was hooked on competitive disc golf. I was like, I didn't know you could get good at this. Mm-hmm. So I tried to get good at it, and then Swanky was born about 6 months after that when we all started to get into it together. And yeah, so I've been playing seriously since about 2019. How far I can throw the disc, backhand controlled, I'll give myself 350 controlled, and just a little bit less than that forehand, like 330 is what I think I've said. It's just a little bit less than my backhand distance, and I can get further, like we said, but it's not controlled at that point. It's not golf distance.
Yeah.
And I'm normally not trying to do much more than that on the course, because bad things start to happen when I try to go further than that.
That's the doubles move, you know? You got your partner set up, and you're like, all right, green light, let's go. Brad, something I noticed, like when I was really getting into the game, and I know we still consider you, Brad, and like the you're not a beginner, but you're in the learning phase. Not that none of us aren't learning, but I remember playing doubles for a little while and being like, I have to go first in doubles because if they give me the green light, I like actually don't change anything about what I'm doing. Like my green light is my best golf and it's the only thing I know how to do.
Yeah.
are you getting to a point where you feel like you can like turn on the green light yet?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I actually prefer to go second if we're playing doubles. So I think, I don't know, little clutch gene. Not really. I don't have that. I mean, let's just not kid ourselves, but no, I like it. I like the pressure. I like being able to maybe do something different, you know, and maybe usually I can't do it, but I try.
Hey, totally fair. Same, honestly, as the guy that also goes second, the amount of, that's why second's so much more fun, right? Because if they miss it, they can't get upset with you when you miss it. Cause they just did too. Right.
Right. Exactly.
True.
So Reed, talk us through, what would you say is the biggest strength of your game right now?
The biggest strength of my game is definitely the forehand. And I know a lot of people will say forehand because of the accuracy. You know, you're looking straight forward. And I do feel that. I've told the other swanky guys a lot that, you know, in a casual round, I might throw 70% backhand. But in a tournament round, I'm throwing 70% forehand. And I'm going to try to make a forehand work whenever I can, because I feel that forehands lead to the fewest mistakes for me. They often produce almost as much distance off the tee, and I can throw all the angles forehand. So forehand definitely is the strength.
Okay.
Nice.
Do you have that like Chandler Kramer? That's something I like watching him realized I want to pick up next season, is the like forehand turnover roller.
Dude,
have you ever tried throwing that shot?
I have tried, but that's got to be the hardest shot in disc golf, man. When I saw him throw that, was that at the European Open? I couldn't believe that shot. And that he has that dial, that's unreal. No, I do not have that in the bag.
Yeah. Maybe that's a swanky video, or I'll head over to Georgia and we'll film it together. But it's we'll get Lone Star to sponsor it, and we'll just do a tumbleweed challenge. It's just like tumbleweeds only, forehands only. Here we go.
Yep, dude, let's do it. Maybe we'll learn it that way. After that video, we'll be like, wow, this is easy. Let's do it.
Yeah. Trial by fire. I love it. Well, Reed, we have your bag in front of us. Silas is going to go ahead and throw it on the screen here. We were texting a little bit before. I think your bag is super fascinating. I love it. I think that it's very well balanced. So this isn't going to be like a ton of roasting. And I think something for listeners to notice is that sometimes your bag really is like set, right? Like that you feel good about it. You feel confident. Would you say you feel confident in your bag right now, Reed?
I do. Yeah.
And that's great. So what we want to be careful with is there comes a moment, and you kind of have to make this decision as a player. When do I feel like, hey, this is like, I can reach my optimal performance right now, or when can I tweak it a little bit? A lot of people come on our show and they have like a glaring weakness in their bag. All we want to do today is we're going to focus on mid ranges near the end, because there's one disc in your bag that I want to give some competition, because I think if we can challenge that disc or that slot with a different mold, we may be able to open up a few more shots for you. But Brad will be the judge of that.
Awesome.
If it actually worked. So starting out, we'll start at the drivers and work our way down, and then touch on putters, because your putter slots are pretty dialed.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got the grim in your bag. You a big casting guy?
Not a big cast of guy, not because of their plastic, but I feel like a lot of the molds just weren't for me. But the grim is a stellar forehand disc. I throw it, and a theme you're going to find in my bag is that a lot of forehand discs are forehand discs, and a lot of backhand discs are backhand discs. Okay. There are probably only five or six discs in my bag that I am comfortable throwing all the angles, forehand, backhand, whatever. So the Grim doesn't come out for a lot of backhands. It is a lot of forehands. It is a full flight max distance forehand disc.
Okay. Max. And so when you're getting max distance on this Grim, how are you getting it? Are you like anti-flexing it? Is it a hyzer flip flex? What's the...
It's a baby hyzer, full ride S flight, fades back a little bit at the end.
That was my question too, Reed. Do you, your typical like go-to forehand, are you like a slight ante guy, flat? Like what's your typical release point for your forehand?
I don't like throwing forehands on anhyzer. So I definitely would prefer to throw it flat or baby hyzer.
Okay.
Fascinating. Okay. So we move down to the Enigmas. You've got two Enigmas in your bag. Is one a forehand, one a backhand disc?
No, they're both backhand primarily, and one is just slightly more overstable. They're very, very, very close to each other, but if there's a wind condition or just, you know, if we're throwing uphill or downhill, I might change which one I'm throwing. It's very slight difference.
Okay. Have they been in the bag about the same amount of time, and one's just you're trying to beat one in, or why the two then?
One's about 6 months younger than the other.
Okay. And you were just
a baby brother.
Yeah. Okay. Throwing it a lot and felt like I needed another option for that backhand. Okay. So let's just round it out then. The Wraith and the Curl. What are those two doing?
The Wraith is a one angle forehand and backhand disc distance driver. So it never turns over for me. If I'm throwing it on a little bit of hyzer, which you'll kind of hear a lot, is my stock release is hyzer. So if I'm throwing the Wraith on a little bit of hyzer, it's never going to flip over. It rides to flat and fades on both forehand and backhand. So that's my reliable guy. And then the Curl is super understable, way more than the numbers suggest. At least this one that's in my bag is very understable. It kicked the Hades out of my bag.
Interesting. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, Brad, you're the Hades expert here. Walk me through, like, I know some people, there are some runs of Hades that are super flippy, some that like mm-hmm. have a little bit of stability to them. Mm-hmm. Do you know which ones are which, Brad?
I believe that the first run, like the domey ones, are more overstable. And then like the stock ones now tend to be less or more understable, I believe. Correct me if I'm wrong, Reed.
No, the first Hades I had in my bag was a Proto. And I don't know if you guys ever had a Proto Hades, but they were another level of understable. I got my first stock Hades, and I was like, this is a different disc. I don't know
for
what
sure.
I'm holding.
Yeah.
I'm looking for, in that slot, understable enough to start on hyzer, flip to or come back.
Okay.
That kind of thing.
And the Curl does that for you.
The Curl will do that. And if I don't give it enough height, it'll burn.
Okay.
Wow. Yeah.
So like more like a -4.2 instead of, cause I think it's like a -2.2 or something like that, according to flight numbers.
Yeah. My disc bag said -2.2. I think mine doesn't have numbers on it, but yeah.
Yeah. Whew. That is okay. That's something special. Lone Star doing crazy things in all forms mm-hmm. and fashions. I love it. So, So I think that like, I like the balance. I think really my challenge to you would be, I would love to see for distance drivers, I would love to see you take one of those Enigmas, take the newer one out for a little bit, like now that you've got it, and just see, do I beat in this other one faster now that I don't have the other one to lean on? And that could give you more shot variance in itself. Because do you ever have a moment right between the two Enigmas that you're like, you're standing on the box looking at both of them and you're like, I'm going to go with this one. And then it comes out of your hand and it's like, oh no, I picked the wrong one.
That just happened to me. Yes. I mean, yeah, mm-hmm. occasionally it does happen where I'll throw an Enigma and they are actually the same color. So sometimes I'll pull one out and throw just the wrong one. I mean, like that will happen. The
funny.
Foil color is different. So, but it's silver versus black. So mm-hmm. maybe you're right, Robbie. Maybe it's a little bit toxic. I don't know. I just threw it at League the other day with the guys and I threw it. And it just started flipping and riding right. I was like, that's the wrong one.
Bro, if you are watching on YouTube, please let us know in the comments. Like, that's, we should have two discs here, but man, I really, like, that could be a giveaway question right there, Brad. It's like, let us know your story of you straight up just grabbed the wrong disc and what happened.
I like that.
It has happened to me, bro. I had a phase where all my fairways were blue at one point. Like, I switched the disc around and I was like, how did, bro, it was such bad golf for a while. I literally just had to be like, this is great, but it's got to go. I need another color. That is totally fair. Speaking of fairways, okay, so I'm intrigued. Your fairway spread is huge, but you have a couple sneaky ones. So Firebirds, I'm assuming Sexton and a Champion.
Yeah, it's a Sexton run, and then just a C line board flat, crazy overstable guy.
My guy, that is, I'm rocking the same setup in my bag. That's, if you're not familiar with Sextons, there's lots of information out there. You can walk through that. The two discs that intrigue me the most, the Essence, I think people are sleeping on. It is such a good disc. Josh from Overthrow actually is the one that got me onto the Essence. He was raving about it. Super fantastic. Is that, what would you say is your farthest flying fairway driver?
Probably either the Essence or the Night Strike. I throw them pretty far, both of those pretty far, because I can get full flights out of those when I'm throwing them. The others are more one angle shots for the most part.
Okay. So you do have two Night Strikes. For those of you who are newer to disc golf, you're like, Night Strike? I've not heard of that mold. Welcome to OG Discmania. And I guess they're still doing it now where they're like, hey, this is a normal disc that we normally make. We'll put a cool stamp on it. Special run. Night Strike. So
great name, though.
Yeah, I mean, the artwork is also amazing. The little snakes, super good. So you're rocking a Night Strike one. First off, bold move, Cotton. I respect that. is that a disc that you've had for a long time, or did you find it in like a used bin or a trade or something like that?
Dude, I've had that since they came out. Actually, since the Night Strike 2s came out. And I thought I was buying a Night Strike 2 when I bought it. So that's a funny story. I'm really glad I made that mistake, because they fly so different, and the Night Strike 1 is unlike any other FD I've ever picked up. So I love that thing.
And Night Strikes are C-line, right?
They're color glow. Okay. They're color glow C-line, yeah.
Nice. Okay. So is the Night Strike, when you throw that disc, hey, do you have any backups to your Night Strikes? Not for like me personally, but I'm wondering, like, from the standpoint of like confidence while throwing, like, will you throw your Night Strikes near water?
No, but I do have backup. I have a backup Night Strike 2 that I'm hoarding in my closet. I have not managed to find a backup Night Strike 1. Those things are hard to come by, but I'm confident throwing them. Like, I'm not going to lose them, hopefully, but not over water. No.
That's fair.
Not going to happen.
That's fair. And then I think the other disc that I like, I'll moment of honesty here, Brad, you might be better than me at this, and I'm happy for you if you are. I don't watch a lot of Prodigy players in the bags, because I find them like to be very repetitive. Like, they're all basically throwing the same thing. And my generation of players, we had talked about this, I think, last week, when you watched a Prodigy in the bag, when I was coming into the game, you couldn't even get the discs that they were actually talking about, because they were special runs and all this. So it burned me to this. Reed, you rock F2s in your bag, and we're not talking Innova F2s, like factory stack. No, there's literally a disc called an F2. What does it do for you?
These are the golden child of my bag, actually. Like, low key, incredible flyers. They have numbers like a eagle or a T-bird, somewhere in between an eagle and a T-bird, and they fly like just amazing. They're two of my hand and backhand, very comfortable in the hand for either one. I have one that's just slightly more overstable, and one that, again, it's just like 6 months newer, 6 months younger, and the more beat one has a little bit of turn to it, but always fights back hard. And then the other one is more of a one angle flip to flat type of overstable driver. Mm-hmm. It's great for pushing hyzers, stuff that I feel like my Sexton can't quite do because it's too overstable. When the Sexton won't turn, the F2 will, and it's going almost as far as the Firebirds for me. It flies great. I throw it more than any other disc in my bag.
Okay. So Reed, give us a selling point here. Brad, have you thrown an F2 before?
I've not. No, the closest to me throwing Prodigy, I always eyeball the new FX3 a lot. Okay. Like I'm like, mm-hmm. that could fit in my bag very well. But other than that, I haven't really thrown any Prodigy. Oh, that's a lie. Threw some really beat up A2s. I found the used bin while we're vending, and I like kind of fell in love with it, but I realized it's not a real disc. Continue.
That's fair. The A2, if I was, the A2 was number three, like when I did my trials of disc to replace my AVR X3 a while ago, AVR or the A2 was number three. Like it was the bronze medal behind the Tactic and the Pig. So,
got it.
Nice. It could have been a different world for us, everyone. It could have been a different world. Reed, I want you, because I think a lot of people listening probably have tried the T-Bird in the past. They've tried the Eagle. They've gone out and tried the Evader or something like that. The F2 gets slept on. Give us a selling point. Like, advertise, why should people go try an F2?
For one, I think Prodigy's plastic is a little bit slept on. I know that they have had struggles, especially recently, with flashing and production issues. That's definitely true, don't get me wrong. But the plastic itself is incredible. I'm a huge fan of 400 plastic. And both of my F2s are like the more opaque run of 400, which is just like money as far as hand feel goes. So I just feel confident holding them. They're really comfortable. And they also, if you have a T-Bird in the bag, I just think the F2 isn't the same disc. I think you could bag both. But the F2 is just going to have more to its flight than a T-Bird does. For me, at least, a T-Bird is, you know, it's got that very neutral to slightly overstable, where my F2 can do more. It will flip, it will ride more, but it always fights back really hard, which is something like, if you've ever thrown an Eagle, you know what I'm talking about, with like a little bit of flip and then a hard bite, it's different. It's just like, it allows you to do more than T-Bird, different than a T-Bird for sure.
I love that. I'm working a shift at my shop today. I'm gonna see if they have F2s. Very curious to try it out, my man. So that is super good. Okay, so let's, the last one, I said there were two discs that were intriguing. The final disc, and I'm sure you thought it was the one that I was going to go to first. You bag a Core.
I do bag a Core.
I remember when Jesse was trying to decide on the name, like real talk, y'all. This is a little inside exclusive. I don't know if Jesse will ever even hear this. When he was trying to decide on the name for his putter, he called me and he said, "Hey man, have you ever heard of a disc called a Core?" And I was like, "Yeah, super neutral, like mid-range by, or I think it's a mid-range or a fairway by Latitude." And he was like, "Dang it, you actually have heard of it." And I was like, "I have, but I literally run a podcast where we talk about plastic. So it's probably an unfair advantage. The number of people that have heard of a Core, very low. What does a Core do for you, man?"
Oh man, it's like I bag it out of almost spite. Like I love how it feels in the hand, guys.
I just gained so much respect for you because you said that. That's a move I play. Go continue.
Yeah, I'm a teach you disc.
I love the Core, but we have a horrible relationship. It feels better in my hand than any other disc I've ever felt. It's got a slight bead. I don't know what it is about the rim size. My hand fits in it perfect, like they were freaking meant to be, you know? And then I throw it and things tend to go wrong when I throw it. And I don't know why. I want it to work so bad. I'm trying. I'm in therapy with this disc, man. I want it to work. It just hasn't been working. So we're still working through some issues, me and the core. But it feels incredible. It goes further than a Buzz does for me and flies generally about the same. Although, you know, at this moment, I cannot whip out the core and throw it in a tournament. Things will go wrong.
Okay. Is it the Lucid Glimmer run or like the Opto Glimmer or I forget what it's called by the
It is. Yeah, it's the most recent. I think it came in a box. I got it from a buddy that throws only Trilogy plastic. And yeah, I think it came in one of their mystery boxes recently. Okay. It's that Opto Glimmer run.
Yeah, the deep purple ones.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So, okay. Fascinating. And I definitely, like Brad said, ton of respect for, you know what, I'm going to make this disc work because that is, I had discs in my bag for a while that are doing that. And honestly, right now, if I had to say a disc that I feel that way, it's Wraiths. Like my relationship with Wraiths has gone dark as of late on backhand. Forehand, love you. Mm-hmm. Backhand, get out of town, bro. It is crippling. So moving on to putters, let's do putters and then we'll close out with our mid ranges. So, okay. I've got it off to the right. That's why I'm turned. PA3s and NVs, putt with PA3s, throw NVs.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. Have you ever tried throwing a PA3? Like, do you have any throw?
I do throw them. I throw them standstill, like almost an ultimate toss. If I'm within like 150 feet, I'm throwing the PA3. The NV is going further and straighter than my PA3. But if I'm standstill, I like a little toss at the basket with the PA3.
It's funny. I watched Hunter this morning ace with a Glow PA3 that he put in his bag and took his NVs out, believe it or not.
Nice. Let's go.
He took your advice, Robbie. He said, I did this because of the podcast last week.
So, mineralization, baby. Here mm-hmm. we go.
Mm-hmm.
Baby.
No. Okay. So that's awesome. What plastic are your NVs in?
I have an Electron Firm and an Electron Soft that are so, so different from each other, dude. So different.
I filmed a video for Vlogmas and I got to pull an Electron Soft Envy back out. I was just reminded of everything I've said here on the podcast. A beaten Electron Soft Envy is one of the straightest discs that you will ever throw. Like to me, just like a soft hyzer flip, and it's just perfect. Is that what sounds similar to yours, or is yours different?
So mine is really beat up and it is kind of warped. I don't know. You know, those soft plastics that don't look like a disc anymore. I pull it out and it's got some bends in it and I can't even hold it at one part of it because it's so like bubbled up over there. And it throws more like a proxy. It flies more like a proxy. Okay. It's very understable. I put it on baby hyzer and it'll ride to the right. And that disc, it's been run over by a car. It's been done. A lot of things have happened to it, but I prefer holding the Envy than I do the proxy. So I get that same flight, that understable putter flight with it.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, that I respect. And we talked about that a lot on the show as well, is if you love the Envy, try out the proxy. Because the hand feel is different, but it's not like so drastically different. I feel like you can trick your hand and your mind into thinking you're holding the same disc.
True.
Let's talk mid ranges. There's two mid ranges we want to talk about. And then Brad, I got some questions for you regarding what you did today.
Great.
Buzz SS and the MD. This is like an actual MD.
Yeah. C-line MD. Yeah. OG.
Okay, this man has, you better not let people know what car you drive. This maniac's going to be breaking into your car and stealing your bag just for these three discs right here.
That's my baby right there.
So the MD, walk me through the MD and the Buzz SS. What do they do differently?
The MD flies more like a putter. It's like a really long putter. It flies slow. It turns slow. If I put it on hyzer, it'll flip up to flat and go straight.
Okay.
The Buzz SS, the one I have, is a lot more understable. Very flat top. So it's one of the, it's the only mid I throw forehand. Because it feels really good. Well, okay, other than some other mids, I guess, that we haven't discussed yet that I would have considered putters. But the Buzz SS, it flies very understable. If I put it on a forehand very gently, it'll still ride to the left the whole way of its flight. But it turns quicker than the MD does. It's a drastically different flight for me, where I can get a lot of late turn, late movement out of the MD. The Buzz SS is just turning and going. It just starts moving a lot quicker, right or left, depending on, you know, backhand or forehand.
Interesting. So interesting.
And I can get it to go straight with hyzer, but, you know, that's on a flat release.
Yeah. Okay. Very, very curious, my man. Very curious. Okay. I wondered if there was crossover, but hearing the MD flies more like a putter makes a lot of sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's that, like, I know, for instance, like, I'll throw a polecat and I just feel like I smashed it, and then I'm just watching it and it's just still not going anywhere. And you're like, oh, okay. Yeah. Cool. If I would have thrown a little bit of a faster disc, that would be 100 feet farther right now. Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that makes sense with the MD. And I think in light of, like, it gives you that balance, and can you throw, because it's in C line, do you feel like you can put a little more on it than necessarily, like, say, I guess the next option down would be going to that Electron Soft Envy, like, to get the same flights?
Yeah, it's almost a different flight, because I have an Envy that's more overstable and an Envy that's more understable, and the MD is just like dead straight on a little bit of hyzer or flat. It's just a little bit of gradual turn. And so I am able to put a lot more on it, but I can also back off of it and get that MV, straight MV flight out of it.
Awesome. Yeah.
So I do a lot more throwing that disc dead straight.
Okay. So yeah, you would say the NV kind of like makes a parentheses, the NVs make a parentheses around the MD in terms of shot availability.
Yeah. I'm also trying to work a third NV into the bag and be up that other one to get it dead straight. It's sort of working its way over there. It'd be great if we could get there, but maybe one day we'll have a triple NV bag. That would be amazing.
Run it over with a car, it sounds like. You might be good.
Yeah, it works.
So you had mentioned two other mid ranges that you would consider putters. I put them in like approach category. The zone, a zone is a zone. You know, we talk mm-hmm. about the zone. Everybody knows the zone. If you like getting bogeys and you like, you know, like messing up your upshots, mm-hmm. the zone is the disc for you. Just lean into it. Love it. I kid. But the Harpoon. So Lone Star showing up again. The Harpoon. Describe what you do with the Harpoon. And then, Brad, I want you to tell us what you went out and tried, because the Harpoon is the disc that we're going to try to give some competition today.
Okay, yeah, the Harpoon flies and does what I want the core to do, but it actually does it. It does it well. It's not really a straight flying disc. I wouldn't describe it like that. It has a lot of movement. It turns like an approach disc normally doesn't before it bites back. Like, it's got almost an F2, like this flight I described in the F2 flight for me. It will turn as a four speed and fight back at the end, which is great. I love it. I don't find myself turning to it a ton in rounds, but in just when I'm out in the field throwing my bag, I love what it's doing. So it's there, but yeah, I don't turn to it a whole lot.
Okay. So competition is welcome, almost, to see if we can get something.
The door
in
is open.
That, you might turn to. So, Brad, what did you go try today?
All right. So today I tried CAC-Z and K1 from Castoplast. And Apex Swirly Mustang from Mint. So yeah, I'll talk about Feel, Robbie, and then I would love if you ask me questions about it, because I think you definitely have something in mind, and I already know probably what I'm going to recommend to read if it were up to me, but I'd like to hear your thoughts, Robbie.
Yeah.
But Feel, they both feel really great. That's the problem. I love K1 plastic. I don't really have any in my bag, but I love how it feels. And then this Apex Swirly Mustang, I've felt them a bunch in the warehouse. And the thing, and this will come up later as well, the thing that I love about the Mustang is I fan grip all of my mids. And this has a perfect groove in this, and I love it. Cax Z feels great. Even if I can, like, I can actually feel some of the embossing. It's like a nice little grip point for this type of grip. But man, this Mustang feels so good in my hand. I can't even describe to you how good it feels. Guess which one I like, Reed?
Couldn't be the Mustang,
no,
right?
No, definitely not. All right. Sorry. Go ahead, Robbie. What questions do you have for me?
So you threw these out in the field. How did you feel about, like, the stability of them? Would you consider them straight to overstable, overstable? Mm-hmm. What was your vibe?
So what I liked about both of these discs, they both had a very similar flight, honestly. But what I liked about them, even for me, like, I have been working so hard on a flat release on backhand. I'm getting there, but I'll occasionally give a little ante still, which I hate, but it happens. They were both stable enough that if I caught it on a little bit of ante, they would turn a little bit, but they would always come back to straight. If I hit them straight, they would go very straight, but then have a little bit of finish on them for me, like a very good amount of finish, if that makes sense. So if I needed a shot, let's say I needed a tunnel shot, and then, but I still needed it to go left at the end, like this, that's the disc. Either one of these would be great for that.
Okay. Interesting. Okay. Yeah. So that, how, like, distance wise, how did you feel like they flew compared to, I know you've thrown buzzes in the past, things like that, or not, what is it?
I'd compare both these to my net. Yeah. My Nebula. I would compare them both to my Nebula. That's exactly where I was going with that. The Mustang flies so much farther than both the Cac Z and my Nebula. I have to, like, kill my Nebula to get it to go as far as the Mustang did at, like, 70% power. Like, the Mustang just wanted to stay in the air for me. Cac Z flew very comparable to my Nebula. So if I'm throwing 70% power, 75% power, they're going to go like 250, 270, somewhere in that, like, that range. The Mustang, I threw it hard one time and I underestimated how far this fence was, and I threw it over the fence and I threw it like 70 feet past the Cac Z. So, I mean, I would feel comfortable throwing a 300 foot plus hole with the Mustang.
Wow. So Cac Z is a 6-speed. Did you feel like it flew more like a fairway, or did you feel like it flew more like a mid range?
The Cac Z, I feel like it flew more like a mid range personally for me. Same thing with the Mustang, obviously, too. They feel like, to me, they feel like mid ranges. I guess, to be fair, the Cac Z is starting to get that, like, that more sharp point, like you would get for a fairway driver. Does feel a little faster, but I didn't throw faster for me.
Okay. Reed, do you have experience with either of these molds?
I did have a Glow Cac Z in the bag for a while. And it sort of fell off in the same way that a lot of overstable mids have had in the bag. They just weren't being thrown. And almost the same way that I'm feeling about the Harpoon too. I love the Harpoon, but it's not getting thrown a whole lot, especially in tournament rounds. So it's like, I don't know, like these overstable mids, the Cac Z, it just fell out of the bag. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I wanted to love the Cac Z, but I just didn't, like, I definitely didn't fall in love with it. I think I had high expectation. I think it had more, I expected more out of it than I got. It was just, I'm like, oh, this plastic feels great. You know, it's going to be great. I thought I was honestly going to love the Cac Z way more than the Mustang. It was very opposite. The Cac Z was underwhelming. It was just, okay, this is a good overstable mid. It's okay. I could see why people would throw it.
Yeah.
I'm not going to throw it.
Okay. So Brad, if you had to recommend a disc to Reed, in a surprising turn of events, what would you recommend?
Definitely the Mustang. And again, I haven't thrown the other plastics of the Mustang. Wow, big shocker, right? Plot twist. Well, the thing that surprises me about, and I haven't thrown it in any other plastic other than this Apex swirl they just put out. So I'd be curious to see how the plastic type changed, like the flight of the disc, whether, you know, if they're like eternal plastic, if that makes it more overstable, which in my experience, that plastic is more overstable. Yeah. The reason I would recommend it is like, especially after hearing your like hate fest kind of, but love fest with the core and then like the harpoon, there's like a clear gap right here. And this Mustang, I think would fit right there. And I think the shot you want out of your core, maybe you could get with a Mustang, maybe in a different plastic, and then also have the like Apex for a more overstable option. And I think you would grab it and not have to worry about the harpoon or the core. I think it could cover multiple slots right there in that gap, the one gap I can really see that you have. I like this Mustang so much. I'm having like this very internal debate the whole time. If it looked like I was thinking, like I was thinking the whole time, I'm like, am I going to have to take the Nebula out of my bag? And I love my Nebula. Everybody knows I love my Nebula, but it did what I want my Nebula to do with like some finesse where I feel like I have to really throw the Nebula hard to do it and to get the same distance.
Yeah. And I will say Georgia Golf has a lot of woods. So finesse's friend, instead of raw power for sure. Mm-hmm. So
indeed,
Reed, would you be willing to, if we sent you this Mustang, would you be willing to try it out in competition with the Harpoon and see, because really my curiosity would just be like, if the Mustang would give you enough distance that you wouldn't have to feel like, oh, I've got to step up to the F2, like it would actually give you some controlled options, especially I'm thinking of like Mulberry hole one, like in the straight position or something like that. Sounds like it could be a perfect fit over having to shape something else or something like that.
Dude, you're speaking my language. I would absolutely try it out. That's what we do here. We test this. And I got a tournament at Mulberry on Saturday. So maybe it gets down here and maybe, just maybe, I give it a toss on hole one. We'll see.
Love that. Well, we will definitely send it your way. Also, just another thought. Sorry, I'm stuck on like the multiple plastic Mustang thing, but yeah. I know they make it, and forgive me, I don't know what they call their base plastic, but they do make that in base plastic too. So again, coming back to the core situation, if you could have that in base plastic and beat it in a little bit, I think it's going to fit in that slot too. I think you have an opportunity, Reed. I think you have an opportunity to mold minimalize in that category where there's a hole. So final thought on that.
Oh, absolutely.
I'm excited about that, man. So much of my bag is based around comfort, and you guys are helping me in this area in my quest to find a comfortable, overstable mid, which is something that I just have not found. I'm excited. I'm excited about the groove you talked about with the Mustang, because that definitely is something I like in
a
mid. You
can probably see it even. Like, that's how...
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, I was very comfortable disc. Even in this plastic, the Apex is a little, obviously, more premium. And the thing I like about their Apex plastic is typically when I'm going to like an ESP or something more premium like that, I'll be like, maybe I should put a little chalk on. I actually feel like it's more slippery if I put chalk on. Like, I don't feel like I need it. It's grippy enough that I don't feel like I need to chalk up for it.
Interesting.
Yeah. For what it's worth.
Reed? Let us know. Let the people know if they have been living under a rock and they're like, we keep hearing the word swanky. I didn't realize that was like a word people were still using these days. Mm-hmm. Let the people know what's going on with you, Swanky. Where can they find you? What's happening with Swanky? Shameless plug time. Go.
Yeah, absolutely. You've not been living under a rock. We're the only ones using the word swanky still. But you can find us at Swanky Disc Golf on YouTube and Instagram and Facebook and TikTok and everywhere else on your social media platforms. Today starts Discmas December 1st. Mm-hmm. We're super excited. We're going to be dropping a video every single day of December. And we're trying to push for 30,000 subscribers. We're giving away a Simon Lazat grip bag full of awesome discs, 25 discs crammed in there. So yeah, guys, go check us out. We're having a lot of fun, and We're looking forward to doing some videos with Robbie later. And yeah, we're going to have a ton of people on the channel, so we're excited.
Come on. Well, y'all, I'm a big fan of Swanky. I'm a big fan of Reed. He definitely, another beautiful reason we could have Reed on today is that the beard game is strong with this one. So
it is.
He was not by any means intimidated by the In the Bag beard crew. So thank you, Reed, for coming on, man. We look forward to having you on for the recap episode and hear how this, hear how the Mustang flies for you.
Dude, I'm so excited. Thank you guys so much for having me. This has been a blast. I love talking about my bag, obviously. And you guys are so wise. It's been great talking to you.
Thanks, man. We loved having you on.
Thank you. We'll see you soon. It's like, guys, I hope that when you listen to episodes like this, you can tell the fun that we're having while being on the episode. And I'm a firm believer, Brad. I think it makes it hopefully a better listen for everyone.
Yeah, Reed's a great guest. I mean, he's obviously a little seasoned on talking about disc golf, so that's always great. But I think it's really cool, especially, and I can always tell when how long the person's been playing based on like their In the Bag chart that we see, because you'll start to see everything creep over on that more stable side, which is always pretty interesting. But he's done a really great job, you know, fleshing out his bag and making it very balanced. So I do like the challenge. You know, I never know the challenge. It's really your challenge, Robbie, so I shouldn't say I love it. But it's always cool to find that little like niche part that can maybe combine some molds for them or really give them something that they've been looking for.
Absolutely. And I mean, that's when I was like, man, I'm really going to struggle to like challenge his harpoon. But then for him to even say like, I've got the core and the harpoon that I love the feel of them, but they're just not flying great for me. Mm-hmm. That's, I think, a great moment if you're listening to be like, hey, there has to be an option out there. If I think that this flight or this slot should exist, and it does, there's enough plastic out there. We're not living in 2012 where there was four options and that's it. Oh, you didn't like a Buzz or a Rock 3?
See ya.
Good luck, brother.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So, no, I think it was a great episode. Hopefully everyone out there liked it as well.
Yeah. Well, Brad, it's Black Friday has come and gone. We're at the end of Cyber Week.
Yeah.
Do you have anything new in the warehouse, or are y'all it is just basically running on like empty now?
So we still have plenty. We put up a ton of, I mean, I think we restocked like close to 100 molds before Black Friday. Shelves are looking a little bare. There's still some treasure in there if you dig around a little bit. When this comes out on Friday, we do have some MVP dropping on Friday. So the Stock Glow Resistor is releasing. Ooh. So great disc. And then also the Rhythm. They're, I believe, re-releasing the Rhythm, correct? But it has a cool drummer stamp on the special edition one, as well as like a stock Rhythm as well. And Neutron, we have both of those dropping. So Rhythm is another one I've been like, I like the feel of the Rhythm as well. But it kind of fits in like that Jackalope slot kind of for me. So I don't know. Me and the Jackalope, talking about Reed's core, me and the Jackalope have been feuding a little bit lately. I feel like I'm either like overdoing what it's supposed to do or it doesn't do what I want it to do. I just can't find like the love that I had for it initially, but I think it's just like with everything. But we ironically enough, we do have Jackalopes restocking, Diamondbacks coming in. I did get some like misprint XL mint discs that are just kind of random. Those will be up as well, on Friday. Yeah, we have a lot of Discraft molds still obviously up, a bunch of different varieties of Vultures and Undertakers and Scorches, and we're trying to really spread out the variety of plastic and molds for Discraft as well. And there are a few Champ Toros. We have Champ Toros left, which I can't believe.
Wow.
So those are there too. So check all that stuff out. Bogey Bro sticker packs are new accessories. We got new water bottles in, new towels. So yeah, check it out. It's all there. If you look at our recently restocked section and new release section on the website, that'll kind of guide you to what's left over from Black Friday. So,
and then I'm not sure. I think I saw something that Silas had posted on Foundation Disc Store. Is that a local thing only, or
all the 25 days of Christmas that we're doing. No, yeah. That is both online and that is both in store. So online or a retail store here in Forest, we're picking a different disc every day, the first 25 days of December. And that disc is going to be, that mold is going to be 15% off that particular day. So every day is going to be a new mold. So yeah, thanks for reminding me. That's going to be a fun thing we're doing as well. So check out really Instagram, Twitter, any of the socials. It'll all be on there daily to see what mold is 15% off.
Dude, come on. All the deals, y'all. If you are still looking for Christmas presents or holiday presents or whatever for your loved ones, or you're like trying to drop that hint on, you know, the loved one in your life who's like, I don't know what to buy for Tommy.
Yeah.
Tommy, well, we got you.
Mm-hmm. We do got you.
Check it out, foundationdisc.com. Thank you again for them supporting us for and making really this whole podcast possible. Mm-hmm. And Brad, another great episode. Hit them with what do they do if it's good?
Hey, you keep it in the bag. We'll see y'all next week for episode 32.
32? See y'all.
All right.
Easy.
Easy stuff. All right. Let me get this ad read. I have it pulled up. I just need to like edit it so we know what we're talking about.
My wife just sent me a text of Taco Bell. Taco Bell tweeted, what if the bell had a yearly wrap up like Spotify?
Oh no. Not good.
You bought 217 Baja Blasts in 2022.
That's hilarious. Okay, I think I almost have this up. / foundation disc golf. All right, and I will email this to you in just 1 second. Correct pronunciation of Aura is Aura. I've been saying Aura, so Aura, Aura, Aura. Aura, Aura, Aura. I'm going to actually put Aura at the top to remind myself. All right, let me increase this font a little bit. Can I just email you? Can I just share this note with you? No. All right, 1 second. I'm going to email this to you. All right, I just emailed that to you.
Roll lever. Okay. There it is. I like the phonetic at the top.
Yeah. Well, that's for me. I'm typing Aura the whole time just so I can. I'm going to still say Aura. I promise you. Aura, Aura, Aura. Okay. To be fair, everything else spelled that way is pronounced Aura.
That's fair. Yeah.
Aura, Aura, Aura. Okay. What part do you want to do? Do you want me to do the top since I've actually used it?
Yeah. Yeah. So, if you want to do that, like, I'm excited to the finds anything, and then you can do the like, hey, I checked it. I had this, and then I'll hit it like with a dude. I love it. One of the best things about Aura is they help you fight back against those annoying websites. I'll do that middle piece.
Okay.
And then if you want to do the last bit and then say, and let's bring in Reed.
Okay. So I'll do the let Aura. So you did it already. Let Aura do the hard work. I'll say that part.
Yeah. So after you do the top two and then share the like personal experience, I'll hit them with the.
They help you fight back.
Down to price comparison.
Okay. So you're picking up, they help you fight back.
Yep.
Okay. I'm trying to remember what's the last thing that we said.
It was something like fake or being lied to or something like that. And then I was like, speaking of which, we actually have an ad sponsor for today. So want to hear a quick word from our sponsor.
All right. I'm ready if you're ready.
Game time.
All right, Silas, this is the ad read. Welcome to it. For Aura. Aura.
Aura.
All right, Robbie. So today's sponsor is Aura. The whole podcast network is excited to be sponsored by Aura. Dang it. I said it already. I knew it.
That's right there, Silas, if you're looking for the thumbnail. It's me and Brad laughing in that exact moment right there.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. Let's do another one. Here we go.